All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Overview. I'm Chami MV, joined here by Stir and Jerma, of course.
Said my name first.
What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much, just a long pre-show.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, we had a long pre-show. For those of you listening to the podcast, you guys aren't privy to the pre-show, but you got to check it out live to be able to catch in on the fun that we were having. But figured we'd get the show started and start talking about Overwatch, you know, obviously the show that The Overview is about each week. And we have a big break that's coming up soon, but we've had a ton of events like leading up to today. Actually, we have an event right now where our guest Minstrel is currently playing Night of Enigma. His team Hubris is currently down 1-2, but hopefully he'll be joining us once that's finished. But lots of events. I don't know if you guys have been able to catch the events, but there's been like four straight events like the past four days.
Lots of events.
Yes. It's the same teams too.
To be honest, by the time Overwatch is back up, I'm not going to even remember what events there were, unfortunately.
You mean events there were before this, or
before the break? I mean, we're going into the big break. Like,
nobody cares, right? Like, what happened before?
Yeah, you'll remember.
Nobody will remember. Like, seriously, come on.
You act like you're gonna forget it all.
Legacy. Yeah, I know. But you know what I mean.
No, but there's definitely been a ton, and you know, I'm sure Mitch will have some comments about when he comes back. Personally, I think too many events. Like, it, you just kind of, you know, once you watch Hubris and Night of Enigma play each other for like the 20th or 30th time, you're just kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, it's like, is it special anymore? It's like
events seemingly like Friday, Saturday, Sunday every week. And it's the same teams. Just watch them scrim. They do it all the time.
Yeah, that's another thing too. The scrims are being telecast too. Joshy for a while was casting all of them. I don't know if he still does it or not, but he was doing that for a while too. And so you could watch those even on the weekdays. But it's cool that Ghosty Gamers, it's cool that ESL and those organizations are doing events. But right now, I just get this feeling it's like a race. You know what I mean? It's just like who can get that event out as quickly as possible, and I guess get some cool prize or some decent prize pool going here. And I have a feeling it might be a negative thing. There might be negative impacts to having too many of them so early. So the break will be nice. I actually think the break will be cool because of that.
Last week we talked about like how bad a break would be. We were like,
I know, that's true.
You were one.
Here's what I think, right? I think that they may have, and this is my opinion, this is just my opinion, maybe you can agree or disagree. I think the beta. Let me get my point.
You just forgot everything.
No.
The beta?
I actually kind of did. No, there it is. Okay, so the beta I think came out too early. I think that
came out too early. Okay,
too early. I think that they wanted obviously to have it for fall, and but I feel like if they wanted a spring launch or a spring into summer launch, it probably should have been closed beta into you can order, you know, maybe pre-order beta type deal a couple months before launch. And I feel like they wouldn't need to do this break this.
That's kind of what they're leading into, maybe. You know, not confirmed what's going to happen with the beta, how open it's going to be, who gets invited or not. But when it starts back up, I guess you're saying that's when they should have started it in the first place.
Yes. Because then they'd be closer to launch. They might have had a lot of their systems in place that they wanted to have done in the next month or two.
However, they did get feedback they wanted to get. They worked on the matchmaking. That's they've got a lot of the stuff. They're working on Torbjorn, they're working on Bastion, they nerfed Mercy, they're nerfing Widowmaker. They learned what they I think they needed to learn. And at first too, I was like, a break is probably gonna be bad, but it kinda is gonna reinitiate the hype for a lot of people who like are so far gone from not caring because they can't play that it's like no one can play. I can let it go because no one else is like taunting me
for
playing capabilities, and then like maybe when it launches we'll all get back in and be able to have some sort of founders pack, because that's close enough to launch that I think I would not be surprised if there was a founders pack buy-in type of beta at that point.
I mean, I don't disagree with what they did. I don't think it's like a essentially a bad thing. It's just the question is, what would have I rather have seen? And it probably, if they want to do this kind of paid total package that they want to do, maybe it would have been better, at least in my opinion, to like actually do the like kind of what Battlefield did back in the back of Battlefield, what, Battlefield 4, when they just had like
every Battlefield has seemingly done this.
Yeah, well, they do like a beta for like a month or two before, and then they get the game out and then everyone can play it when they want.
So,
to.
I mean,
a lot of problems. People couldn't play. That was a lot of people's problem. People were getting frustrated that they didn't get an invite. It was very closed. They were bringing in, you know, streamers and YouTubers. It was a very big concern for a lot of people.
Well, what if? Is it really just the issue of just calling it a beta? Because they needed this, right? They needed people to play the game and load test it, and just getting all this feedback was actually important to their process. So what if they called it alpha? It wouldn't have mattered, right? If it was called alpha versus a beta, people would still be where they are.
Yeah. I don't think it would have mattered. And people,
I don't think it's not really, but just the fact I would have rather have seen, because when you take the game obviously away from a lot of these competitive guys, they're going to be like, oh, crap, like, okay, well, now we can't play for like a month or two. You know, it throws everything off guard, I think, a little bit.
But I think there's, for the people who are pissed that they can't play for a month or two, there's more people that are happy, like, yay, I'm not that far behind anymore. They have to take a break. I think was a good response to the amount of people that were upset at how the beta was handled in the first place. And it kind of sets everyone back, like, to another equal.
I think
let's just cool off. Wait for the next phase.
Or have it under NDA.
Have it under NDA?
Like the initial closed beta wave.
It could have been.
What, and just not cast, or just not stream it or anything?
No streaming, no YouTube, just...
That's just really hard to have that many people under closed or under NDA.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, they could have had it even smaller and just stuck to friends and family list, but... I'm not upset either way with how the beta's gone so far. For me to say they could have done this, they could have done that. I think it's gone very well from what they set out to do and how they've gone about talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Jeff Kaplan talking about it again.
We do.
Yeah, we got another video, man. I mean,
nice segue. Yeah, so they talked about a handful of things. Pretty much all the stuff that people...
Yeah, well, let's break it down. It's... The first thing they talked about was free heroes after launch, right? Added via patch and not DLC. So once you pay the $40 or the $60, you get all the heroes. Not all the skins, necessarily, but all the heroes just forever. So whenever they come out with new stuff, you'll get it, which is really
cool. I always assumed that was the case. Maybe they would have had expansions, but that's something that people were just pissed off that they didn't explicitly say. And when a company doesn't explicitly say at this point, you just assume... Well, they're going to charge us $40 per hero.
Yeah.
Every hero.
Yeah.
So it's nice for them to actually be able to say.
It was a little surprising to me, just because, not necessarily surprising, but the track record that Blizzard has, they usually do, if they have a pay for game, they don't do free. Everything is free, 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 free. They don't do that, usually. I mean, look at all the other games. We talked about this a week or two ago. All the games, Blizzard does expansions. They do expansions. That's like what they're known for.
If you want to look at like the Crusader and Diablo, we added a new character.
We added a new character. We added a bunch of new areas, and we upped the level cap, and it was like
$39.99.
Yep. Yeah. So I
mean, so the question
cool
remains:
to hear that.
What? How else are they going to get money?
It's going to be skins.
Not slinging heroes, they're not slinging maps. Skins is pretty much like confirmed. They have to.
It'll be skins, weapon replacements.
Already $4, but they're gonna push it.
Patches you can put on your weapons and stuff.
Yeah, there's gonna be a million skins for each of them. I mean, you can imagine. I could think of like 20 skins for each of those characters, and people are gonna buy them.
Even the Origins edition that announced a couple of the skins obviously doesn't have a skin for every 21 heroes. We got these 21 heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually said that in the beginning of the video.
I don't know why we both laughed at that when we heard it. But I just love.
They've hammered it home. They've hammered it home so many times that it's almost like a 21 heroes, 21 heroes. You just hear it every time.
How many heroes are in this game, dude? 21. They got like 20.
But it sounds like they've already been thinking about new heroes too, right? And they've even said that there are some some Easter eggs or things.
I was going to say, too, one of the next characters, probably, if you go into Hanamura, the arcade, you have the big poster of D.Va, everyone's seen. But there are three posters.
Let's go find. Should we find that poster?
If you can find it.
Here, let's go. Let's go look. Let's go in the game.
There's three posters of one person that, one she's not actually in, but it kind of looks like an album cover or something. And they actually have a date on them that I think is January 1st. And Whoa. Then the year is XX because it doesn't show the year.
Ooh. I'm going to have to look at that. When
New hero, January 1st.
Like a Lagan sunglass chick babe thing.
Chick babe.
I don't know.
No, it's cool. It's cool that they're not going to separate the community. They're not going to split people up. You're going to be able to play with the same amount of people in the same places that everybody else can. Everybody hates that in all the other game and all the other games that have map packs and expansions like that. It just splits everybody up, and they definitely don't want to do that.
Well, it's just more value too for that initial, you know, the initial price point that everybody's been complaining about.
Yeah, I mean, I see it kind of as what CS:GO did. CS:GO has you pay in, and then eventually here we're going to introduce maybe some way to get skins and get in-game items and in-game stuff. I don't know if they're going to do necessarily hats or miscellaneous cosmetic items, but they'll definitely do new skins and new weapon models probably. I would assume that was something that they wanted to try. So that's cool. They're kind of following that. I don't know if they'll have a box. That was one thing we talked about earlier, Star. Like, are they going to have a box?
They're going to have I've talked a lot about this. Like, on one hand, I'm super happy that they haven't announced a box because that's, well, I mean, when you talk about the Steam integration, you're pretty much saying we're going to have gambling in our game. Right. We're going to have, like, illegal gambling to help our esports scene. But, like,
illegal gambling.
You kind of need it to boost the esports scene. But then the more I thought about it, too, they don't have the Steam framework, the community market, the kind of trading API that I don't, even if they had a box, I don't think you would get to.
Well, it's the virtual currency aspect of it. Like, you need to be able to create that tradability, like you said.
Everyone has a box now. Blacklight Retribution, Digging
Everybody
Deep
has a box.
Had a box. Hearthstone has packs, which are pretty much the box. You gotta have a box, dude.
Gotta have a box.
You gotta have a roll a dice box. Or a pack. Or a thumbprint on it. It goes like and it like near in here and it like beams in like two or three different hats.
Right, let me start.
It's gonna happen. You heard it here first.
I don't know if it's gonna happen.
No, here's the UI. I can see it right now. You just paint a picture with me. It's like a cool design. It's like lightning and stuff over here. There's like electricity on the left, and it's a container. And on the container is a handprint. And you like have to your character in game goes like and it's and then like
are you
it goes,
describing Shh. Like that talk fast and no one dies game. Is that how you like it doesn't blow up?
Yeah, that's how you make sure you like diffuse it.
Yeah, and if you don't get it right, you lose your Overwatch beta. That's the first thing that happens once you.
I'll be honest with you though, like systems like that keep people interested because it gives you this almost like you said gambling this mindset where like I could buy a couple packs and maybe I'll get one of like the rare skins. Like it keeps people going, keeps people because if you get one of the rare skins and you get one of the items, you feel like. Yeah, I got one of these, and you can put it on, and you can show it off, and people like that.
It's also got tangible value too.
Yeah,
you know, you can go and sell those things if you want.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think it would be much harder to sell those.
Doesn't have value though.
Because of they don't have the Steam Workshop and all of that back end that Valve has. So I don't think it would get out of control, but it is still important. Like a lot of people, I could see the argument that a $40 title is kind of shooting itself in the foot for Overwatch. I could see that. I don't really care too much about that, but you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot if you don't have some sort of box. We're just going to call it the box
opening boxes was my word
way to get rarer things.
It's just the surprise element. I mean, just the
surprise
opening impression. Yeah, packs kind of thing.
It's a surprise element.
It is
pretty cool.
All right, so
they've been very tight-lipped about the progression, so
yeah, they have definitely. All right, so we're gonna let's go in the game. Let's go find that thing. Let's go find Hanamura here. Let me see. Let me show the game real quick. And
we're gonna get some directions.
Okay, so we should just do, I guess, AI, right? Something like that. And then Hanamura.
Go get one easy bot.
That's right. He's going to kill me. Inside the arcade, he's going to kill me.
Jeff also said in the that video that, oh, some people in the beta have even noticed a couple of characters inside the game on the maps, you guys looking at the maps. Which is odd to specifically mention, like, yeah, our next character is on a map somewhere. Find it.
You know? Oh, shoot. We're defending. No!
It's going to be the guy in the limo.
Did I actually pick him on?
He gets out of the limo and he's a new guy.
Yeah. He's going to get out of the limo and he's going to be like the president.
Is it just random whether I defend or attack? Oh.
I think so.
Oh, that sucks. All right, let's try one more time. If not, oh well.
Actually... Yeah. Yeah, I think it is random.
Even against the AI, is it random?
I think
I never even noticed if
it's either always defenders or AI, because I remember many times going into AI and always being on defenders.
Oh, I've definitely attacked out of AI before.
I could join your game if you're desperate. I don't know.
We'll try one more time. I'm defending again. Oh, this sucks.
Why do you figure this out?
Yes. Anyways, we don't have to do this.
You keep fiddling with it. We can. They did say, you were upset, Jerma. I didn't pay too much attention. They were saying they wanted to adjust the scoreboard. People keep talking about how the scoreboard doesn't have enough numbers, but they don't want to go complete full number. They said that...
He said he wanted to... he said they were looking at how to improve the on-fire medal system.
Yeah.
It's just the on-fire system to me is... I'm not a big fan of it. I'm just not. It's weird.
Okay. I mean... It's okay, like, but it's just too little information.
Like some of these tournaments when it has like all these on fire, everybody seems to be on fire. There's like 9, 6, 12. Okay, yeah, there's at least 9 people that play the game.
Well, for competitive, competitive, once they get the push that kind of like gets the winning momentum,
everybody's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's true.
I have felt since the beginning that they wanted to add some sort of cosmetic to the fire. Where you could have different sort of radiances or something.
Yeah. Which is...
I think they wanted to add banners, like Diablo 3 has different character banners. I know they've specifically mentioned that as well, so I just thought maybe that's...
But what is the fire really... I mean, it's not like in Overwatch that... you're not snowballing when you're on fire. You know, it's not like League of Legends where you're getting a ton of gold and you're like, all right, now you're starting just to get a crap load of items and we need to slow this carry down or whatever or else it's just over. In the game,
you're just doing good.
Yeah, you're just doing good. Though. So it's just like
you might not even be doing good if you stand on the cart and push the cart, you'll light on fire, dude. Eventually, because you're getting enough score per minute to push the cart. And here you go.
All right, I'm in. I'm in the Hanamura now. Let's look for it.
Okay. I think I would just rather see a more not necessarily traditional, but if they want to keep the on fire medal system, then maybe have like different. Maybe have it like different flames or different colors or different. Not necessarily. It already kind of does that, right? Like it changes a little bit, doesn't it? Or is it just static? You're just on fire.
It is always the same.
It's just the same fire. There's only one fire.
It doesn't grow or anything. It's always the same fire. So there's one poster down by the right door, right before you leave, I think.
Okay, the big door.
No, all the furthest right exit.
Maybe like a little small silver one is like, oh, that person's doing good, and like
there's the diva, there's the big diva poster. Are we looking at that?
No, right. It's like side. I can see.
Are you talking about the side exit here over here?
No, the smaller posters. There's very small posters that like underneath the diva, I think, is one of them.
Okay, all right.
And right on the left of the exit to the door, like you walk through the door.
Oh,
walk
through the door. Okay, right here. Yeah, right here.
It's gonna be one of those onions.
Okay, this one.
One of the onions.
Jesus, dude.
I'm going to have to wait a couple of seconds.
This one right here.
I know like exactly where they are. Yeah.
Okay, so there's the January 1st XX, and there's a girl.
Yeah. A female. If you go where you spawn looking down the stairs, look down the stairs and turn immediately 90 degrees left, there's two posters of the same person on that one.
Okay, so this girl. Okay,
they're different posters.
Oh, okay. So there's one where she's in yellow here. Yeah, it's the same date. There's another one here, too. Okay.
So those always kind of gave me the vibe of like, oh, we got an album dropping. There's the date. But we already have Lucio, so I don't think it's going to be a musician or anything.
Huh. Okay.
But
So you're suspecting those are going to be the new ones. Okay.
Yeah. I think you're looking in the wrong spot again. It's at the top of the stairs.
No, you're talking about these right here, right?
There's even more up the stairs.
Okay,
up the stairs.
Okay. There's one over here. Okay.
There's a lot of them. You wouldn't put that many. And like,
everywhere. It's not the same girl though in all of them, is it?
It's like so stylized that I don't think it has to be the same girl.
Yeah, the deep ones. Are there any more over here?
There's at least three different ones of the same person.
Yeah, there's maybe even four. One, this one.
I'm just gonna cut your comment in half and say it's obviously a Murloc being at it.
Murloc.
No, say Whisper all.
Finley. They're all. Okay, yeah, there's three of them. All right, so that could be a new character.
Having Jeff tease that people might have noticed on the map, like...
Are there any other maps that might have any Easter eggs? I'm trying to think.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, everyone's pretty much already found, and nothing else has hinted to new characters. Besides on Numbani, there's the Axiom poster. And Axiom is kind of a robot.
Yeah.
That's... There has been concept art of it shown before in line with all of the other characters, so that's another possibility. Axiom like design of the robot's really cool. I'd love to see that character in the game.
That definitely would be great. But continuing on with some of the other things, even just I guess continuing with the scoreboard talk, he did say that they weren't going to work on anything else, right, except for the fire, just tweaking the fire. And you know, we talked a little bit about scoreboard before. I was thinking a little bit more about that discussion too, like when we were talking about it. And of course, we kind of wanted some kind of scoreboard. But
for their development cycle, I don't think they want to give up on this fire yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can have the fire.
It's already new to them. It's only been there for like a month, so they're going to iterate on it until it's clearly not working. And I don't think it's clearly not working yet. It's okay.
Well, that's what I was saying. A little silver. For like you're doing all right, maybe like red or blue if you're doing like that, like the one on the team, like the guy with the most. But I'm essentially describing a scoreboard. You know what I mean? Like how do you make different looking fires and make the fire system better without it just being a scoreboard? You don't. Guy with the gold flames doing the best. Guy with the silver flames doing in the middle, and guy with the red flames doing second place. It just is a scoreboard.
But how do we react to that? We just try to kill the guy that's their best. I mean, it just basically says who's their best player, right? In a weird way.
Yeah, yes.
So you just try to kill that guy, right? I guess. I mean, I just don't know what the purpose of it is, honestly, except for making you feel just a little cool whenever you're like on a 15 kill streak or a 20 kill streak.
What would be the point of seeing how many numbers you have, how many points you have? Because what do points even mean in this game? Even if you were to go to EF2, like backstabs are 2 points. That spies, is he doing better than everyone? Or does he just get more points than everyone? Air blasts give you a point if someone's on fire. It's like...
It's a similar purpose, sure.
Yeah. Did Lucio just stand near hurt people? Or is he really doing well? And I think it's hard, no matter what system they use, to gauge something meaningful. And the fire system is...
Well, fire systems obviously is also just a temporary thing too. Like a scoreboard's the entire representation of how things have gone. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you could be on a 25 kill streak and been on fire, then all of a sudden you die like two or three times in a row, and then you're not on fire anymore.
Yeah, because you're dying a lot, so you're not the problem anymore. I guess.
Okay.
So it illustrates what I think they want to in a little bit of an awkward way. I don't think there's a perfect solution for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
All I want is more stats. The game for it to switch to the final page to see my stats, and there still aren't even enough of them. So I wish there was some way to...
Yeah, the final page, I wish I could see it too. Yeah. He does mention the cards, right? Another thing that Jason talks about. The ending cards, and one thing...
Jeff, by the way, you also have Rich.
Jeff. I said Jason. Oh, my God, it's Jeff.
He is a caster.
Oh, my God. My bad, Jeff. Oh, my goodness.
Jeff Kaplan.
Actually, gosh, there's too many Kaplans, man. There's too many Kaplans in our... Oh, my God, that was a big, big mistake there. My bad. My bad, Jeff. Gosh, that's...
Fucking moron.
Fuck you.
Whoa. We just got real.
No, but he does mention the cards too, right? And
yeah, talking about the cards.
The one thing he pointed out was mainly adding objective score to, or at least that as being a possibility.
At the Blizzard, BlizzCon, they call it. It's a convention that they hold. And cards, they actually did have objective score cards that were already working in the game that were a little bit weird. But, I mean, they do have the code there for it to be done. It looks like they worked with it before. Similar to the kill feed has been in the game before. They have had a scoreboard in the game before. And they're really just, like, flip-flopping things around to see what they're happy with.
Well, that's what's interesting about the kill feed, because in that video, he makes it sound like they haven't created it yet. You know, like the way he was talking about it, but it was there at one point. So
I haven't had one.
Yeah, that was
he was vague about it, and I don't know the word I'm thinking. It feels like they could easily turn it back on for people. But at the same time, I was saying to you, why bother? When the game's going to be down on, like, Thursday?
It doesn't matter.
Why bother build a new version of the game so people can have a kill feed for, like, 3 days?
Yeah.
Do you think you could be able to vote for the other team?
Vote for the other team?
Mm-hmm. For the cards.
Only vote for the other team?
No. I mean, at all.
You shouldn't be able to.
I do not think you should.
Why? Like, what's your reasoning behind that? What's your reasoning behind that? Actually,
every single time that I've really played this game, the end slate cards come up, and either half the time you want to support the person that's on your team, or you're so mad at somebody just dumping on you the whole game that you're like, I ain't voting for that guy. That guy sniped me over. You're not getting my vote. I think it's better to have four of your teammates pop up, because then at least everybody, if they want to try to have more people feel good about themselves and care about the game, I think the four people on the team, there's more option to give people more props that are on your team rather than have like four people. Sometimes what happens if you get rolled, four cards pop up and it's everybody on the other team.
Red,
and it's just like, fuck that.
I know, like, we didn't even get a card.
We all feel we all feel terrible together.
I mean, you might end up seeing cards then when you get rolled that bad, like you get a card, you got one kill.
the
least valuable.
I mean, at least that'll be like, I see, guys, at least I got the kill, I did something. I don't know.
There's one person on your team with the four cards. A lot of times also what happens is one person on your team is one of those cards. The other three are the people on the other team. So who are you going to vote for?
The guy on your team. Yeah, of course.
Every time. And even if there's somebody else that did much better, you're more inclined to vote for that blue card than a red one.
I want to know the internal stats of how many games have been played versus how many cards have gotten to legendary. Like five people.
No one will ever...
The biggest divide is like voting for people on your team or not on your team. There's usually not a consensus.
Unless somebody has just an amazing kill streak. That's usually about the only stat that I think will turn people to get legendary.
But then again, it's a team game. Do we really want to be rewarded in that one?
How many times have you voted for yourself?
That as well.
Is that a question or
yourself? You see your name pop up and you're like,
the first day or two when I was playing, you just kind of see your name and click on your.
Name should pop up for you.
I never vote for myself unless somebody else votes for me first.
Well, there's a
problem. I'll never vote for myself if it's at zero.
I like my own card popping up because sometimes that's the only way to get the stat of what you did.
Well, what if they put all the cards up for everybody? And it was anonymous.
And then, like, they shuffle them again. And then they redeal them.
No. Like, it would be like a system where you pick a couple, like, you know, like, okay, no one can see me voting. All right, I picked that guy on the other team did all right. I don't want my team to think I'm some kind of dick and not voting for them. And then, like, on both teams, like, cha-ching, like, the two cards come out, and, like, who were the two most voted cards on both teams.
I think it would be nice to show the two most voted at the end, but I don't think they should hide votes.
Blizzard, you can hire me now.
I agree with that. That is nice. But if you hide the votes and you don't hear the ding, ding from people voting, you will forget.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. That's true. What about adding more cards? What do you guys think?
More?
Yeah, just maybe like one. What about having five instead of four? There's so many different categories for these cards. It's.
Yeah, I
don't know. I don't see the need for it, but I don't see the harm in it. It's just you have to pick a number, and if no matter what number it is, you're going to say, should there be one more or less?
It's just one of those things where, you know, this is of like the final scoreboard type of thing. So why not just try to show,
you know, at this point, if we're talking all these things at once, if you're showing five cards, you're only not showing one person per team, and that guy is really sad.
Oh, okay. If you're talking about, if you're talking about team like only. Three. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
But if you do have everyone, then four isn't,
You, what's to say you can't put all six up there and have it be anonymous?
Yeah, I think that would be fine too.
And then it could do like a pew, shuffle little thing, bang, here are the two tops on both teams.
That's dangerous, dude. That guy
ain't dangerous. Because guess what? If it's anonymous, let's say it is anonymous, right? Let's say, why am I pointing? Like, let me tell you something.
You're like talking to Jeff and them.
Is it anonymous though? Because it's going to show what character it was, and you know who was playing what character.
Yeah, but does not necessarily. It's just votes. What are you talking about?
I think you're talking about different things here, right?
Are we on two different playing fields right now?
I thought for a second maybe you meant who got the card is anonymous. Like, you don't even know.
No.
Like, but yeah, at first I thought you were talking about voting.
There's just a stat.
Because voting right now is anonymous.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying keep it that way, but just make it so you vote for your own team and the top two cards on both teams show up at the end.
Yes, and I said that was a good idea like 10 minutes ago.
Well, then we're in agreement.
Yes.
There we go.
All right.
All right, not a bad idea. I think that's a pretty cool idea.
Again, we are looking at the first iteration of this bizarre card system that's not been in a game before.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so what else did he talk about here? He talked about music toggle, which I enjoy the music, so
that's just music toggle is just a base.
We're going to have more.
I would never do that. I would never turn it off, at least. Kill cam.
I've heard that there are a lot of their options and
An option menu is an option menu.
Talking to each other is very like put together. Like, not everything is fully done with that. And there's a couple options. I asked Jeff specifically about being able to put your mic on a different line for like when you're recording videos. You can have a different line for voices in game that don't go over the gameplay. Technical shit. And he said, yeah, that we're planning on that.
Oh, okay. So, that would be nice, actually.
That is left to be done with all sorts of everything there.
Yeah, other little things too. Just kill cam options. Just again, I think that was probably the last of it. I guess the question is, what do you guys want to see after the break's back? You know, I think they mentioned a few things. You know, when they announced the break, let's see if I can bring some of it up. You know, spectator mode is obviously one of the things that I feel like will be changed quite a bit. But what are some other things that you guys want to see?
German.
I want to see more game modes. I want to see not just payload and control point. Yeah. I want to see more interesting thing.
I would not be surprised. The rate at the which they've been showing new maps, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a new one. I don't know if it's going to be a new game mode, but
that's what I want.
I don't know. I just I'm excited to see what the character changes are, what they do to like Mercy, because I'm kind of sick of Mercy, so. I'm interested to see what they do with just the core of the game.
You're sick of Mercy. Okay, so changing the balance of the game. So, I mean, you're talking.
They have confirmed they were working on... We're working on Torgon. We're working on Bastion.
Yeah, they're working on those two, for sure.
Those changes will be in when it comes back up. I don't really care about either of those characters. I like Bastion, so I hope they don't diddle with them too hard. But I'm just curious to see what changes with the game. That's what I love seeing. Like, when you first get into Overwatch and you try and learn all the characters and the damage numbers and figure out that you get to relearn a little bit every time there's a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm curious about that, too. The spectator mode, too, I think is going to be really... I mean, at least the bugs will be fixed, but I'm just wondering, it's going to be a I'm expecting a pretty big redesign of the whole thing. So I'm definitely excited to see that. And I'm pretty sure they've been working on it. And they probably could show something now. But why show something now when you have
now is definitely the time where don't show anything.
Yeah, just
don't worry. Just let everyone forget about Overwatch until you excite them again.
Yeah.
If they make some big announcement right now, that would be. Mm-hmm.
Hey, why would they?
Hey, check it out. Two more days.
Holy shit, this new character.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll have a huge wave too, right when they come out. That would be pretty cool if they came out with a big wave. So I was having a conversation with somebody I was playing with the other night, and we were speculating how many betas we think. How many people do you think are actually playing right now, or people have access? We were guessing.
I could guess.
What's your guess?
I don't know. 3 to 4 billion.
We were thinking 1,000. Is that high or low to you?
That almost sounds high to me, but then again, I have to consider other regions and people. Like, I have seen such a narrow perspective of the beta. Because I played nonstop, got to like a high MMR, and I only see those people. So like for me, it's like there's like 30 people playing this game, right? 30. I didn't even, like, they had the open beta, the extended, more expanded open weekend. I didn't see any of those people. No, matched against the same guys because they didn't have any ratings or anything. So it's just like,
that's true.
I couldn't even say.
I think it's at least more than, at least a few thousand, I think.
I think a few thousand. Okay.
If you take into account other regions, you have to, I mean, NA, if we're just talking NA, I have no idea. I mean, they've been so quiet about it, about how many that. Yeah. There's no way to know.
I do see the same people all the time. And I'm not nearly as good as you, sir, but I see a lot of the same people.
At this point, a lot of people have kind of like slowed down playing and aren't playing as much or just stopped altogether. Mm-hmm. So how many were invited versus how many are still going is I couldn't even.
Yeah.
That's a number. When I was a kid, I guessed how many jelly beans were in a jelly bean jar. It was like 600.
Those are awesome. Something.
Yeah, but wow. I cannot do that again. Yeah, I know. I used
you got some of those plan. Left? Can I have some?
No, that was a one.
What'd you win, dude?
Still got them.
Fucking jelly beans. I got the jelly beans.
You got the jar? That's lame, man.
How long does it take to eat them? Jelly beans take like 15 years to eat.
Jelly beans are disgusting. I didn't eat them. I just. There's like one or two flavors that were good I remember eating, and everything else was like the black and the purples and the.
Jelly beans
don't
are awesome.
Don't put the purple jelly beans in
them. You didn't like the Jelly Belly? Remember Jelly Belly had like the container with all the cool flavors? Buttered popcorn, toasted marshmallow wasn't the best. Hated and then you had like watermelon. You didn't like any of those?
Hated it.
Crazy, man.
Come on.
Crazy.
Before toasted all the questions we're going to get are about jelly beans, I think now is a good time for viewer questions. Not much has happened. We don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and, true. Well, you know, well, one thing I do want to mention is like what we're going to do. For the break. So with the overview, we're going to take a break too. I mean, there's no point in having a weekly talk show when there's no game that, I mean, nobody's playing the game. There's no events. There's pretty much nothing going on except for...
There's not much to talk about.
Unless people are, you know, doing fun fan art and things like that. That's about the extent of it. We won't be having the show until the beta comes back.
In the same way, I don't think Blizzard should be talking about Overwatch while it's out.
Yeah. There you go.
No, just wait until you get that one spark of we're back.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, Jeff can take a break too from those videos. Doesn't have to do one or two that we were hoping for each week. So he can just focus on doing those things. What?
Yeah, take a break and like make the game.
Yeah. Also, one thing too, guys, with the show, we hadn't gotten a chance to really introduce the segments. I mean, it will give us some time to develop some segments that I've been wanting to do too. I do want to incorporate just a lot of the cool fan art and all these. There's content makers. We're all content makers here, so I do want to spotlight some content makers and some cool videos, just our favorite videos, our favorite fan art, and things like that. Have you guys submit some to us? And have a little bit more community interactive with you guys. So expect some of that in the coming year or two from the overview. But I want to make sure everybody's clear on what we're going to be doing just during this break. But it's going to be nice. It'll definitely be nice.
10 to 20 years.
Yeah, 10 to 20 years. We'll come back. Oh, the overview.
I'm not going to be that old in 20 years.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it's good. I will. No. All right, let's just take some questions for now. Again, we're still expecting Minstrel to come and stop by. They're having some kind of epic match here with Not Enigma. It's 2-2, and this is the final. Yeah. Final
one match has apparently lasted 2 hours.
Yeah, it's been...
couldn't have seen it coming.
Pretty crazy. But let's take some questions. The way you post questions, if you haven't already, is post it to this website here, or just at least this post on the ChainManView.tv website, and I'll read them out to all of us. Okay, let's take a look. You can tweet them too. You can tweet it to at ChainManV or at Germa985 or at Nietzsche.
I don't read Twitter.
So. Oh, you don't read Twitter. Oh, you loser. Okay, actually, we have a bunch of
Cheddar Puff. Cheddar Puff, either one of you gentlemen. Cheddar Puff.
Cheddar Puff. Well, he's got the salt, man. I don't have any butter over here. So, okay, first question. I wish I could sort this by time.
I don't eat on stream.
Gosh, everybody's... Anyways, I'll just start from the top. Is there any truth in the rumor that Blizzard have built their own oil rig in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to host servers for international invitationals? Also, will they be having a Metal Gear-esque sheep drop system on it?
What?
From John Irwin.
That is all true.
A rig?
That is totally true. They have a satellite in space, too. That's going to be perfect for everybody. So the question is basically, will they have more centralized servers for...
Hope so. You know, I hope they have a lot of servers.
I have no idea. No idea. I haven't heard anything.
Hope so.
Yeah. Paul Yoon from Toronto, Ontario. Two questions. What do you think about the debates thrown around about changing player size? And such as 5 players per team instead of 6. Or a TF2 style 24-player server for casual. Maybe with drastically nerfed ults. Okay, that's the first question. What do you guys
think? Before the game came out, I was a pretty big advocate for they should drop it down to 5 players.
Yeah.
Here's the problem I think you run into. TF2 competitive has always been 6v6, and I think that works because you need a medic, and that kind of feels like there isn't a person playing. Overwatch is the same way, where I can see where you need that extra 6 person to have a medic, and they're not really like doing too much to make things crazy, but it's like ultimates and Overwatch and everything over the top crazy, that the respawn rates, 6v6 can feel like a lot sometimes. I don't know one way or another anymore if I have too big of an opinion on it, but I think you need that 6 person because there are supports in the game, even though they can revive everyone and should be nerfed. I think it works.
My opinion is I think it would be cool to have different, just harp back to different game modes, you know, maybe have like
a
crazy, you know, 10-on-10 game mode or something where it's just nuts. Like that, you just, that's what you're doing. You're queuing into that like on purpose.
Even less if you had like some more focused 3v3 something. I think there's a lot to work with, and the game is.
The game changes the, you know.
No, the game totally changed the.
I'm just saying the game is
balanced. Free. Even if you remove one person.
You could have all kinds of different events too, like more of arena like events, right? If you had only like 3v3 and
let's damage boost our Widowmaker against their damage boost.
Oh,
no, it wouldn't work.
It's not
defense.
That easy.
It wouldn't work in 3v3v3v. No, what?
3v3v3v3v.
That in 3v3v3v.
Triple Genji.
Triple Genji.
Whatever that game was.
Yeah, it could be pretty sick. I could see some cool maps too, like really small maps that people could make. That would make for interesting, you know, just combat and things like that. A second question from Paul Yoon, pertaining to the issue of alts. What do you guys think about raising the cost, lowering the rate of charge of alts in order to better balance the game? We talked about this last week.
I think we've mentioned this every week.
Totally offer that. Okay, Tristan McChristian. This is Rexian. Okay, yeah, this is the first question, actually. Been a longtime fan of Germa and Sir. First time viewer of your stream, Chan, but you seem cool. Oh, thanks. Anyways, do you guys plan on postponing the podcast? Yes. Okay. I think we answered that. I should have read it first.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Do you think, from Joseph Chiapetta, do you think that TF2 Christmas update is going to suck as much as last year's? Wow.
You're just reading every question without. There's no like.
I need to actually read these first. Yeah.
Is the Christmas update going to suck? Yes. Yes. Because if it's not matchmaking, they are too busy working on matchmaking to make a good Christmas update, and they haven't tried to siphon the community to make it for them yet. So I think
they'll add a couple of new items, and it might be interesting.
Also, Overwatch stream.
Hey, were you here? You were here like an hour and a half ago when this was like a What a popcorn vacuum stream.
A vacuum.
we were talking about like. Somebody brought up Ice Age. Somebody brought up the movie Ice Age and that it was like the best movie they've ever seen. Which one of you fucking clowns?
You, you're doing Ice it Age. Right now.
Ice Age.
We love Ice. I just had to name drop Ice Age.
What a good movie, Ice Age.
Oh my God.
I brought it up right now. That's the point.
Corey Psycho, do you think there should be a map? Do you think there should be map bans in competitive Overwatch? I asked due to the most successful FPS esports, CSGO, having map bans. Overwatch clearly has different layouts on their maps more than just the objective stylings, which can affect how certain teams play. That's the first question. Here's another question after this.
Me and you actually had a long conversation about maps, and I think it's too early. There's not enough maps to cut maps. When you have Counter-Strike and you can go on the Steam Workshop or you can do whatever and download hundreds of maps, and they put new maps in every like 3 months because of the new gun passes and everything.
Yeah.
You can do that. You have that liberty. I don't think at this stage of Overwatch they should let maps be banned.
Me too. I think they should make everybody play it. And we had Oplaid on last week, and Oplaid was very... I mean, I'm not sure if he was talking about most of the top-tier players, but definitely his opinion was that the double objective maps are just... I mean, they allow for gimmicks to happen and really kind of cheesy things, I guess, cheesy strategies for attacking. And I think that's fine. Like, I'd like to see that. You know, I think that's okay.
It's too early to start saying we don't want to play this.
Yeah. I
disagree very much. Though, in the long term, yes, because banning maps, like, if one team's really good at this map and that team's not good at that map, and, like, there is a good meta for banning things, but there's not enough to do that right now.
Not yet. Well, yeah, I mean, it, agreed. You know, it might be interesting later.
Yeah, definitely. But, another question: how would people feel about character bans, even though there are in game character switches? I believe this would allow for a bit more versatility, and require people to have more than just a couple set squads to run the include OP character of the time. I like that.
Okay, I ban Mercy. Okay, I ban Lucio. No one can get healed.
Well, let's say they just do. You can only ban.
Well, now you're getting weird.
Well, what if they say you can ban one from each of the categories, even though the categories are just like more guidelines? But let's just theoretically.
What if you just lock in?
The game is really about these 21 heroes, and we love hero switching. The game's about hero switching. You can't play this one. I don't like hero banning. I like having maybe a one character limit or a two character limit. I think that's good for the long term health of the game. But again, too early to even say that. So I'm happy with things being experimented with.
Cool.
I like the have a idea.
Experiment.
I like the idea of locking in. I do. And I mean, we've talked about this before. A lot of times when you play Overwatch, you already are kind of locking in a hero anyways, because not very many people switch off the characters they're playing unless it's between rounds or after multiple times of them dying or doing a certain thing. Mm-hmm. When I play a game of Overwatch and I pick Zenyatta, for instance.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Zenyatta for a long majority of that.
That's an issue, too, is if you pick Zenyatta, your whole team is, okay, we have a healer. No one will switch to a healer. You are Zenyatta. You can't do anything unless you're like, okay, I'll switch to Lucio. Like, that's the best you can do. Usually, if you're a tank, you feel like you're stuck with it in a lot of games that happen.
But a lot of times when you play, you're almost... this is what I feel like doing right now, and this is what I'm going to do. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you just don't have the Twitch shooting, and you don't want to play an offensive class. Sometimes you don't want to be the guy holding the shield up. Sometimes you do. I want to play Reinhardt. I want to be very defensive. I want to help. I want to support. And you don't want to switch off that. You want to play, like, the defensive character. Sometimes you just want to do that. And
I think what you're seeing, too, is a lot of the people that aren't switching characters are playing the characters that don't need to be switched. Which could also be looked
at. Yeah.
McCree is always really good. He got nerfed. He's not good at long range anymore, but the maps don't often call for long range. Mercy isn't going to switch because you'd lose.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't switching are the people that are on the really good characters. They don't need to.
All right. Well, guys, let's take a quick break because Minstrel is ready to go. I guess they just finished their map or their match, and I need to get these cams going. So I don't want you guys to be watching that. We right back, guys.
BRB?
BRB. Minstrel from Team Hubris, just finishing in pretty epic battle, actually, with Not Enigma. Wasn't expecting it to go as long as it did, but definitely happy that you got a chance to make it, buddy.
Yeah, it was literally an 8-hour tournament. Started at 1 p.m., and there were only 4 teams. So
oh, my gosh.
Very efficiently run.
No sarcasm there at all. Yeah. You guys end up winning? Because I didn't...
Yeah, okay. We won.
Yeah, it was like a 3-2 match there, right?
Yeah, it was messy. Well, technically, they got a free match because they beat us the first round, so we were in the lower bracket. So, but yeah. Yeah. In the finals, it was technically 3-1, but they got 2 points.
Oh, so it kind of let... they do one of the extended series thing?
Yeah, if you
thing.
Come from the lower bracket, they... Upper bracket gets an advantage.
No, oh, I see. Well, that's much closer.
There's 4 teams, they didn't do like a round robin.
No, it was Fnatic versus Melty and us versus Not Enigma in the first round.
That's so
and
weird.
Yeah. Surprising.
Yeah, that they would have lower brackets for 4 teams.
they did a lower bracket. Wow.
Yeah. Haven't they ever played Monster Rancher? That shit's all.
Anyway. Monster Rancher? What are you talking about?
Surprisingly.
That's how to run tournaments. Got
last.
What happened?
Team Melty got 4th place.
Oh, really?
They lost to Fnatic. I have no idea how that happened. there was also a big controversy. The rules.
Oh, the rules. Yeah, you were telling me about. So they were like arguing over the rules. So what was up with that?
It was like both Fnatic and Melty got the cart to the last part on Dorado, but neither completed. And then like mid game, ESL said is like, okay, if Fnatic gets 1 second of overtime, they win because they. Oh. Longer attack or mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. and then so obviously they just changed their strategy to dive on the cart at the end and win, and then Melty was obviously pissed because that wasn't in the rules.
Yeah, just obviously
made a game in the final part of the map, and they ended up losing 2-1 to Fnatic
because of that. Oh well, yeah. That's unfortunate. Obviously more things to learn from the standpoint of event organizing. But you guys, you know, Team Hubris, for those of you who haven't been following the Overwatch scene, Team Hubris has just been crushing, actually, just each of the last, I don't even know how many tournaments, but you guys were 3-0-ing Not Enigma for a while now, so today is obviously different. Did they switch some things up on you guys, or was it just your play?
Both. Well, I mean, like, I probably had, I don't know, 3-4 hours of sleep and Tailspin the same, and I also pulled out, like, a different strat on us. So was like
it's good to tougher. See that.
But Wage just like swept them the last 3 games in a row. So
just adapted, I guess. Adapted to whatever they were doing. It's good to see them mixing it up though, against you guys. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we 3-0'd them in like the past 2 tournaments. And if you count scrims, our record against them is probably something like 35-7 or something.
35-7.
Wow, what a bunch of noobs.
Honestly,
yeah. So what are you gonna do while the game's down and everyone's gonna forget that you're 35-7 for like a month or two?
Whatever you want.
Well, I was talking to you yesterday, right? You're happy about the break.
Well, I mean, we had literally 18 hours of tournaments over the past 3 days, because it's like 5 hours Gosu Saturday, 5 hours Gosu Sunday, 8 hours today. So
have you considered not doing one of them?
Yeah. We considered it, but then
we thought about it.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
It's not like we're playing for the international prize pool here.
What? It's not $1 million.
$100, or no? Yeah, $100 each.
So why play them all right now then? I mean, I guess that's the question.
To assert dominance.
To assert dominance. You got to win every single day, right? Is that the deal? Okay. Well, makes sense. Are you guys going to be looking to join, looking for sponsors and that sort of bit, you know, just from the standpoint of teams, or are you guys just still focus on just mainly gameplay?
We're obviously interested in getting sponsors. Like Matt's been approached by like Team YouPorn and some other people.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I think that violates the Blizzard rules.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think it does. Might not fly.
Yeah. At this point in the game's lifespan, no one's going to get, like, you know, gaming house salary kind of offers.
Yeah.
You want to get a good deal. You need to get.
All right, let me ask you. Hold on a second here. Are you okay with wearing a Bumblebee costume?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about making a team. They're going to be called the Germanites, and you got to have a full clown costume, one of the guys, and a Bumblebee costume on the other. What do you think?
Personally, I like Cloud Nine just for their logo.
He's got to get a good logo.
Yeah,
it's the Bumblebee logo. Someone will go.
It's going to be like a little bee.
Yeah, that could work.
I'll get sued by the Charlotte Hornets, and then, you know, but they don't even exist anymore. Hold on a second.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. No, the Charlotte Bobcats. Bobcats.
Yeah, well, yeah, the hell, I believe the Charlotte Hornets are. Yeah,
that's true.
No longer in circulation.
So what do you? So what are you hoping to see, like, from the break, like from the standpoint of the game itself?
I mean, what I'm expecting is they're going to add like cosmetics and progression systems and things like that. I'm not expecting radical gameplay changes.
Oh,
I
really?
Can tell you the gameplay changes that basically Hubris and all the other high-level teams would want is changes in the ultimate system.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to see? Like, what exactly?
Well, for example, if you kill Reinhardt, he gets 27% ult charge. And if Reinhardt kills Lucio and Mercy by himself, he gets 24% ult charge. So that's assuming Reinhardt does nothing and he just dies from full to zero. He gets 27% charge. And the ults are not, like, weak. They're incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, half my play time is, like, I'm positioning myself to try and avoid the black hole, the barrage, the fucking balance hammer down, all right. That stuff. And you build it so fast.
We were talking about ult building before. Actually, we're probably going to get a good idea to get your opinion on it. Ults building too fast? Do you think that just across the board? It should be dropped.
I think it's across the board, and it adds, I don't know if you can call it random, but it's just like you getting your ult 4% later can cost you the game.
Mm.
It's like, yeah.
What? Like too many ults, they can really only be countered by a defensive counter ult. So if they get like the Reaper ult or the Pharah ult first, and you get like the Lucio ult 5% later, that could be the difference of a team wipe and one wipe. Can be the difference of the game, especially if you're playing the
I think it's just it dictates the game way too much where you don't want to spam as Junkrat because you don't want to give them ult. Mm-hmm. You don't want to kill Mercy because it's like so much is based around do they have ult, am I giving it to them, when are they getting it, when are we getting it, and it's so, like you say,
it's like against Fnatic, for example, we would deliberately run in and just bait them to use their ults and let them kill us all, or right. We just leave our ults. And then we just get rezzed and wipe them out.
Yeah, I didn't even like think about that. That is like
just get all this.
You can do that
strategies. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be there regardless, right? Of being able to spam ults or not, or being able to farm ults quickly or not.
Well, it's about the general Mercy power level
behind walls.
Yeah. So yeah. Stir has a huge problem with Mercy. Minstrel, what do you think about Mercy?
Well, I think the problem is there's like too many ways to like insta-give a team, like you hit like a Zarya Pharah combo or stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's like the only real counter is the Mercy res, so I'd be happy if they changed it, but they need to rebalance some of the like massive AoE death ball stuff. Like
there's a lot of them. I mean, it's not even just that one.
There are quite a few. This is, wait, how many like AoE death balls are there? There's,
well, the biggest one is the Pharah ult. And the Reinhardt is kind of like that, because if you get knocked in and anyone's there.
Maze is kind of too, but it's not instant.
People don't really run Mei in competitive too at all in this tournament. We've tried her. I think she's viable, but you've already got too many like required slots. Mm-hmm. So you have only a handful of people who can actually flex class.
In y'all's makeup, which is the flex characters?
It's like Raz and Tailspin and Matt change. So Chump's basically always on Reinhardt, I'm on Lucio, and Esper's on Mercy. And like Tailspin and Matt are usually going to be the fragger classes, although you'll have like Tailspin switch to a tank sometimes. And Raz is like the offensive flex tank. So.
Okay, cool.
Both are like. One thing that I really hope happens in competitive as just a viewer. Is I hope they change some of these heroes, because that's like it happens a lot in games with more than 7, 8 or 9 different characters. But when you have 20 plus people, there's, like you said, there's like the people that have to be picked, and the other ones just don't really get played. And I'd like to see a lot more characters that you would not necessarily expect in competitive to be played in competitive, because they kind of have to be played.
Well, it's like after the second tournament, people are complaining about the stale meta.
Initially,
everyone started copying our like setups. So like we started doing double Lucio, first point, King's Row, and then everyone started copying that and all this stuff.
Right. But, you guys, the innovators.
Our concept on like our default team lineup is we wanted the least like rock, paper, scissors type class as possible. So we don't want anything which is hard countered by another class. We want like the most versatile, where you can just outfrag the other team.
So, a lot of divas. And sorry.
On defense at like the last point. But that was actually not Enigma's invention.
Oh, yeah.
First.
Like seeing more interesting like team comps. I mean, there's enough heroes in the game, and there's going to be more added later, obviously. That'd be nice to see the different weird stuff that people come up with that they want to try to do to counter things that people are currently doing. Because it's supposed to be a game about switching. It's supposed to be a game about, you know, flopping around with heroes. So I don't know. As a viewer, it would be more interesting to me to see them not beat walls over and over again.
It's so tough for you guys to innovate, you know, right now, because the only team you can scrim with is the team that you play at the end of these tournaments anyways, right?
Well, I think the other characters are more viable than it would appear. It's just like people don't like to change up, or it's like, you know, in Dota 2, some characters crap until some top team uses them in a tournament and then everybody starts using it. It's just kind of like a mental block. We don't want to experiment, because
if one person showed off that Bastion like could do really good right here, I mean, Nikita
uses it on last, but it's...
I'm going to start doing it. Where do they use it? I'm going there. I'm doing it.
Get Stop Blizzard from redesigning it.
Yeah. Final
no, it's
Gibraltar. They use a Bastion in the spawn door sometimes.
I could see that. Yeah,
that's a good spot.
But generally, it doesn't work, I think. It's done. Worked one time out of 10 or something.
It's all it takes. Well,
one
man.
Time you didn't
all
expect it, takes. It. Now you look for it.
It's all it takes.
Is it one of those things where it's just like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it either? Especially you guys winning so much. Do you guys try to stay ahead of, like, one step ahead, even when you're winning all the time?
Well, I mean, other teams need to change to counter us if what we're doing always works. There's no point in experimenting. I mean, we'll mess around with stuff just for fun, but there's no reason to change your lineup to something.
Yeah.
Just for the hell of
it. Works.
It's hard to argue against that. All right, well, let's see if we have any more. We were going through questions because we were, you know, obviously had started the show and everything. So why don't we finish some of these questions? It's definitely great having you on here. I'm sure you're tired too, just from the entire event.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I don't want to have you on too long here. Okay, Linnea Tabitha Rose, who's Shade. I play with her a lot. Do you think Genji is broken, and why is the answer yes, he is?
I don't think he's broken. I mean, before today, we literally, I think, never lost a round against Genji. I think it's kind of weird. It's like he's not that good without the Zenyatta orb.
Mm-hmm,
and he's really annoying if he has it.
Feels like
it's
very
hard
much
to kill.
A character.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to coordinate and kill him. If you're not that good and there's a Genji double jumping everywhere, he's...
Well, yesterday, like... Sure, four killed four of Fnatic's members by himself as Genji in the NA Cup, and though they started raging, it's impossible to kill Genji with 200 ping and all that fun stuff.
It probably would be pretty hard.
I mean,
I would rather fight a Genji than a McCree.
It's like the flankers are kind of, they're in an odd place. I'm not sure if they're actually the best choice ever. Like, Genji's really annoying, but you can shut him down pretty hard too if you have like skilled players. But like, Ranger, a lot of time I'll kill
the reason to flank isn't even there, because you're not playing control point maps where flanking might get people to go back to the point. You're not seeing Bastions, you're not seeing Symmetra teleporters anymore. There's no reason to be on a flank.
Well, normally it's just used to go and like try and gank the Mercy or anyone.
Well, then play Pharah is pretty much probably where it's at.
Well, it's probably easier to do on Genji because you can do your combo and they basically
get instant out of there.
Yeah,
and then get out of there.
Yeah. So
take off.
Right. Okay, Chatson Frankenberg from Imperial Valley College asks, do you think that Blizzard's current choice to not add more than 21 characters will affect Overwatch's replayability?
I mean, Team Fortress 2 has 9.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So it should be fine. I don't think that will affect much.
Yeah, I mean,
considering we just heard today that all future heroes, yes, there are making new ones, are going to be free. So they do have plans to make more. It's just a question of when.
Yeah, and it sounds like it might come out immediately too. Like they launch the thing and it comes out very shortly after, which would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
So we did have a question about there's a couple questions here about central servers, and you know I know you guys were playing on the EU server yesterday or the day before,
and today too.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Talk about the ping and just the latency. Is it an issue or
no? I get like 115 on the EU servers, and there's basically no difference for me. I think Tailspin, I think he gets around 200 because he's West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a minor, it's mainly with the movement abilities, there's some warping or stuttering sometimes. But in terms of like hit reg and aiming, it's the exact same. So this is like 200 ping in this game is completely playable, whereas like I played Soldier in TF2 with 200 ping, and it's like impossible. Yeah. This is the least independent shooter.
Okay, well that's good. That's definitely good to hear.
Is very difficult.
Yeah,
I can imagine trying to play it like competitively.
I was competitively because I was in London and the team refused to play on a central server, so I had to play West Coast match.
Did you get used to it after a while, or is it just
no?
You never can.
Like, I mean, if you want to practice with 200 ping, I'm sure you can get used to it. Compared to like,
that's pretty impractical.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see if there are any other questions here on Twitter. Okay. The Chewy Rock. Will same hero stacking be a problem for competitive Overwatch?
I don't think it actually is. I know the one thing everyone complains about is the D.Va spam on last, but if you actually watch the matches, it's quite counterable. It's like send in the Reapers, the Zarya, massive damage, you can't block it with the defense matrix. I think it would be more interesting to watch without duplicate heroes, but I don't think it'll be a major problem as far as game balance goes. I know the Twitch chat seems to hate it.
Yeah. But isn't that part of the problem with, like, you don't know what attackers are going to come out of on a control point? It could be five Winstons, and if you just by chance weren't ready for five Winstons, then like, oh, they got us this one time, let's change characters, but we lost the first point.
Yeah, that's the problem on all the first points for defense. It's like makes sense to come out with a cheese combo because they're probably not going to have a setup to counter that. They're going to have a balanced comp, and if you win on that push, and that, but a lot of times you can just push with a normal combo and then you have charge for the next phase and you still get it on the first push. So
you guys are always getting on the first push, so I guess
yeah,
I guess it doesn't matter.
The biggest problem is on like Anubis and the CP maps, because that's like literally half the map can be done in one cheese push and there's no way for you to respond and change classes.
Anti-cheese, and you gotta do your own cheese.
Yeah.
So, do you generally not like the 2CP maps then? Because we had Oplaid on last week, and Oplaid hates those maps.
No, I don't think anyone likes them, because you can lose it in like a minute 30, something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's the ultimate like charge factors are even bigger there. Getting your ult 2% faster can decide the game, and the map can be over. Instantaneous.
That would have ended the tournament way faster, though.
Yeah, why didn't you pick those, dude?
They weren't in the pool.
They weren't in the pool.
Yeah.
Oh, they weren't in the pool to begin with? They just didn't even include them?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, yeah, the only team that even wanted to play them was Melty. But everyone else voted against having them. So.
Okay, so it was like a group ban.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, we played with Not Enigma in a best of 9 before, and we just had a gentleman's agreement not to play those maps, even though they were allowed.
Okay. Kimmy asks, what hero do you think needs to be what hero do you think needs to be nerfed the most, beefed the most? So she has two questions.
Nerfed and buffed?
Yeah.
Sexualized more.
Well, I think kind of the worst design at the moment, leaving aside, you know, Torbjorn Bastion, is Zenyatta, because he's like simultaneously super OP and also terrible. Like the Orb of Discord is insane.
I like that about him.
It's like the optimal way to play Zenyatta is you throw your orbs on someone and then you just go fucking hide. Like so far back that the Winston, Tracer, whoever, they can't get you. And it's like the Orb of Discord is so powerful. But yeah, it's just no fun to play.
You can, like, one shot a Reinhardt with it. It's crazy.
I mean, it gives a Reinhardt 250 health.
Yeah.
Effectively. So
that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, he needs the biggest overhaul. I just like more supports to be viable in general.
But people get like a ton of kills with him too, man. It's just guys. You guys are so good at killing
But anyone that actually is focused on killing a Zenyatta, which doesn't happen too often, Winston.
Easy kill.
You have to like play him literally like two Winston jumps behind your team.
That's why you need a Symmetra and a Torbjorn to give him 250 health and then have him be the DPS.
There you go.
And have a Mercy on him all times. Your whole team revolves around Zenyatta and you lose.
No, you win.
So do you think he needs to be beefed then? What if you gave him like another 50 health?
I think he should have like more personal survivability and like reduce the discord. So the optimal playstyle is more you got to be in the fight, not just hiding in the back while your team or your Genji, whoever, does all the work for you.
Yeah. I mean, his ult is all about being in the fight.
His ult fire is that's terrible too, isn't it?
There's
no reason to ever use it.
No, you can use the ult fire because you can throw the discord orb in between when the alt fire actually lands, and if you hit them, you can like insta-gib, I think, everyone if you hit land the discord and all five orbs.
All five, you could really,
that's close
damn.
To
damn
yeah
like, every day
powerful
guys competitive. Learn something every day.
All right, Zombie Monkey has kind of an interesting follow-up. What carries do you think don't need to be nerfed despite public outcry?
I don't think that Lucio or Mercy really need to be nerfed. I think they should change the other supports so they're more viable. Like, I'm stuck on Lucio basically permanently because he's all around good in every situation pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's never like, oh, look at this team comp. Lucio's going to suck here.
That's true.
He's gonna suck everywhere.
Reinhardt's going to suck here. They should buff the other characters rather than nerf.
I think Symmetra needs something.
Yeah, Symmetra needs something for sure.
Melty was running her against us today, and then she was actually doing okay. But the thing is, we just like speed boost around the side where there are no turrets and just run on the point and ignore her basically.
Every time I play her, I just feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm just kind
of hell to play.
It's very boring. It's very you're very taken back from the team. You put shields on people and it stays on them.
Even when you build ult as her, it doesn't feel like you did it. You fire a ball and like a couple seconds later, you're like, I guess I did it. One step closer to my teleporter here.
Symmetra would be the one for me.
Yeah, the ball fire is so slow too. It's like it rarely hits when it really hits anything. All right, I don't think there's any more questions here. Let's see.
Yeah.
Last minute.
We're going to have to go into hibernation. So maybe these characters even will be changed in a month.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the break's coming up, guys, in another almost like two full days. Yeah, so it's about 49 hours here. So got to get your play in as much as possible. Is it going to actually end at midnight the 10th or like midnight the 11th? Do you guys know?
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a question.
Yeah, we might have 3 days actually.
I've kind of accepted that it's gonna go away, and that's already put me in the point where I'm like, I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah. And Mistral, you guys still have like a couple more events too, right?
There's still more tournaments to play.
You're not playing in that? I know there's one on Wednesday, like the
I shut the servers off in the middle of one of them.
We're banned from it.
It's EU only. Oh, it's the Good Studio one. Too good. Oh, that's lame.
We've been playing it anyways.
You wouldn't play it anyways.
The warning. The Blizzard warning. Server's turning off in 15 minutes. You guys are going to be at last.
The end of that happened in like the first cup.
They held it out though.
The servers, yeah. They kept finished the round.
Yeah. They let them
finish. Yeah, that did happen. I forgot.
Yeah, that was definitely really cool. But appreciate you coming on though, Minstrel. Why don't we just wrap the show? We've been doing this for a long time now. And figured we could, again, just kind of wrap it up and go into hibernation. And then we'll be back whenever the beta's back and can get a chance to, again, like have some more segments. I'm sure we'll have an intro video too by then. And just a lot of other things that I've just been kind of getting together. And this break will be nice to do. But Minstrel, you want to do some shout outs before we go?
Just to Hubris on the team. Shout out to the devs for scrimming us all the time the first 2 weeks, and they were actually beating us like every time.
Are they still any good now, or are relatively?
They gave up. I think they don't scrim us anymore. A couple weeks back.
Yeah.
Shout out to Not Enigma because they're like the most fun team to play against.
Oh. All right, Jerma. Shout out.
I cry.
Why? Oh.
It sounded so sad. Like, shout out to Not Enigma. Like, they're not around anymore. They're dead.
They're still around. Like cancer.
Like cancer.
Damn.
But they're fun to play against.
I don't know. I don't really have a big. I don't have really a shout out. Maybe just see you all in a couple months when the game's really back and we can shout out to Downtime.
Yes. Downtime is nice.
Shout out to From Software. Bloodborne DLC. It's a great game.
Shout out to all those hard-working Blizzard devs.
Shout out to all
that's
those.
That's right. They're going to be working the entire time.
From Software.
Is that why they're getting off for the holidays?
Exactly. That might be actually why they're taking like a 3-week vacation.
But yeah, anyone who's still working on the game, working it up, shout out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to work.
You're listening to me right now.
Yes, definitely. And it's pretty late over there. It's pretty late. It's 7:30 over there. Yeah. I'll close things out. Big shout out to you, the three of you guys, for obviously doing the show today. And all of you viewers, too, that have been watching, especially since we were doing the pre-show. I might just post the pre-show anyways, you know, just the podcast and everything. I don't know. It was definitely fun.
It was its own full
show. It was pretty much its own full show. For Minstrel, if you don't know what we're talking about, we were doing a pre-show for a while that was basically non-Overwatch content. And then we just finally decided to start just because it was taking so long. But yeah, anyways, thanks guys for chilling out, hanging out there. The VODs will be on youtube.com/chanmanv as always. The podcast will be on iTunes and the feeds, the feed burner feeds. So you can see them in all kinds of just podcast readers or whatever apps. Definitely you can just find those. So you'll be able to catch the audios and then follow the channel too. If you enjoy the show or any of my other shows, definitely, you know, follow and you'll be notified whenever it comes on. Unfiltered, my esports show is tomorrow at 1 p.m. and Value Town is Wednesday at 1 p.m. too. So 1 p.m. Eastern, that is. That's going to be it for the overview, guys. So for Minstrel, Jerma, Stir, and myself, Champion B, we'll see you next time.
I still haven't shaved.
Let's go. Nice.
It's December.
Nice.
It's getting cold.
Chilly. Keep it.
Come on, man.